Hey, Brad.
Hey, Max. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
We're waiting on Jake. Today we have a very special guest joining us. Kazmir Kaskisuo. He is a goalie in the NHL and the Nashville Predators. And hey, Jake, thanks for joining us. I was just talking about the big guest we have on. We're waiting for him to join. Super excited to have him on as the NHL playoffs has started, and he's actually on a playoff. Contending, they're in the playoffs already. Hopefully, on their way to the Stanley Cup, but we'll have to see. Waiting on Kazmir to join us now.
Well, we're waiting for him to join. What do you guys want to touch on? Some sports related, real quick. What's going on across sports?
What I thought was interesting is Albert Pujols got his first RBI as a Dodger. So,
the machine boy.
The machine, definitely.
Yeah, that was crazy. But, hockey playoffs have been pretty wild so far. I watched a few games yesterday. Obviously, Boston tying up the series. Colorado winning 3-1. But, yeah, it's been fun. I mean, hockey playoffs, one of the best events in sports.
Yeah, very intense. Always down to the wire.
And it's even intense when there's only 10,000 compared to, 30,000 fans in the stadium. And
yeah, it definitely creates a different atmosphere for the players and fans.
But it still even does sound like 30,000. So imagine if there was actually 30,000, it'd be like 80,000.
Then you'd have to turn down your TV.
Probably, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, again, super excited to have Kaz get on, waiting for him to do that.
Yeah. And before he joins, it was nice to see Carolina was rocking yesterday, even though the goalie that's joining us today was on the opposing team that lost. That stadium was almost full capacity, and it was nice to see.
It's cool to watch, whether it's hockey, not football, baseball, basketball. It's awesome to see fans back in the stadium, and from personal experience, me and Brian actually went to a baseball game the other day, and it was like a whole different, it was like life, it was a life changer. It was like back in a stadium with fans, and you're able to hear the commentary of the batters, and it was incredible, right, Brian?
Yeah, it really was. All right, he's running late. He'll be ready a bit soon, so real quick, we can talk about what's going on in playoffs so far.
Which division should we start out with?
Why don't we just Eastern. Talk? We can go Eastern if you want.
Eastern?
Yeah.
All right. Well, in the Eastern, we have game two today, actually, between Isles and Penguins.
That was a good game one.
Yeah, very good game one. Who ended up? Yeah. It was Palmieri, right? That scored that goal.
Yep.
Yeah.
My Isles taking the win, big one.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I have. What was it? Who did I have winning that game?
Pittsburgh
I had
winning that game.
Pittsburgh. Yeah, I had Pittsburgh winning that series. So hopefully they end up pulling. But yeah, and then we have. Brian's favorite team, the Big Bad Bruins versus the Caps. That series is tied at 1-1, right?
That's probably the most intense.
Because Brad Marchand with the game-winning goal yesterday.
Yeah, it's the revenge tour for us Bruins fans after watching probably Hall of Famer, perennial Bruins stars that ain't on Chara leave. Still hurts to say.
Yeah.
But, 1-1.
Been a physical series, Bruins were down 3-2 in the third, and then with less than 10 minutes left as well, so
yeah,
they didn't waste no time.
And then why don't we move to the Central after that? After game one between Nashville and Carolina took a win at home with a great atmosphere with the fans.
But yeah, definitely on this podcast, rooting for the Predators to win.
Yeah,
yes,
definitely. And then we moved to the other side of the Central. It was a Florida matchup. We got the Panthers and the Lightning. And Lightning took that one with a close game, almost went to overtime. But Braden Point scored in the final minute and 13 seconds or something like that, I believe.
The Battle of Florida. I would like Panthers to take this one, but
yeah,
both teams are very good.
Yeah,
definitely. In my opinion, though, this is the only matchup where I think it's going to be an obvious sweep, and I think Tampa Bay is going to win it 4-0.
Really?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised, but at the same time, I wouldn't.
Because yeah, the Panthers are seeded higher, but, you know, it's the Lightning. I mean, they're just – when it comes to the playoffs, something clicks in that locker room, and they're almost impossible to stop.
See, maybe if they had, like, Nikita Kucherov, it'd be maybe a different story.
I feel like they were kind of lying when they said he would have just barely made it in for playoffs. I feel like they already had him ready for playoffs before the playoffs even started. You know what I'm saying? Like, they had him practicing while they were still playing those final games because they knew they made playoffs and didn't need him. So they just had him practicing.
Yeah, but, I mean, Braden Point, in my opinion, is a rising star of NHL, and I think he's one of the most underrated players in hockey.
Yeah. And with the Panthers, this is definitely the best team I think they've had in history. I think.
Yeah, in recent history, team. Yeah. I mean, they were a bad team for a while, but they're turning it around. And they got a bright future ahead of them.
Especially with Coach Q back there on the bench. And but it's seems like throughout the season, they're good at defense, offense, and goaltending, but they just couldn't get it all at the same time. It was either they were good at offense and bad with goaltending, or good defense, but bad offense. They just got to click in playoffs to beat Tampa.
They don't even have Aaron Ekblad, right? Isn't he hurt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, let's talk about
Colorado and St. Louis will be a good one.
Yeah, I was just about to say, let's go to the West Division. Colorado's 1-0 up. I think Colorado should take this series pretty easily.
Yeah, definitely.
St. Louis being the outlier. But you never know.
Blues are just that team that you do not, like, you know, want to mess with.
Yeah, but the Blues could really I think with their experience, especially with the way they won the Stanley Cup 2 years ago, they could surprise some people, but I don't think they do here.
I mean, when St. Louis won, I mean, they only played one real tough team that entire playoffs, and you know, of course, it was the team they beat in the Stanley Cup, but you know,
of course, you'd think that the Boston Bruins, but
they killed them in Game 7, though.
Well, yeah, it doesn't matter. Close in Game 7.
Bruins have not had good luck in the Cup.
Mm-mm. We have not.
And then the other game in the West, the other series in the West is Minnesota and Vegas. Minnesota's up 1-0. I had Vegas sweeping Minnesota, so that's already screwed.
Yeah, that was honestly a shocking loss. I didn't think it was going to be a sweep, but Vegas, I mean, they look good, but I thought Vegas was, you know, the obvious, clear, better team. Yeah. But, you know, that series looks like it could come down to the wire.
Could be. Yeah, it could come down to the wire if Minnesota keeps performing how they did. And then we'll go to the North here. No game's been played yet in the North Division. But we got Maple Leafs, Canadiens. Maple Leafs should take that one easily unless Carey Price takes some games for them. And then with the other series, that's Edmonton Jets. Edmonton should also win that with McDavid and Draisaitl, and with the Jets being a little shaky lately, especially before playoffs, Edmonton should probably take that series.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I think the Jets will turn it around. I mean, Zach Wilson, franchise quarterback.
clearly, Brian isn't on the isn't thinking about NHL right now.
They know.
Brian loves that Zach
Wilson. All right, boys. We're gonna go to football real quick, right? All right, listen here. We got a notification. NFL players setting up for race. Mecole Hardman, Justin Jefferson, Devin White and Henry Ruggs are beefing about who the quickest player is. Who do we got?
I have Ruggs.
Yeah.
When I think Ruggs. That's the only time you'll Ruggs. Ever be able to say Ruggs is good at something. Because based off last year, I mean, he looked horrible.
Yeah. He could bring it around, though. He could.
Christian Yelich has returned for the Brewers.
Did he?
He did.
That's good. All right, Brian, do we have any update on Kaz?
He still says he's running a bit late, but he'll be ready soon.
All right.
So that's good.
All right, anything we should talk about before?
Hate to cut you off there. We saw Jalen Ramsey came out and said he can't wait to play the Bears and talking a lot of trash there. And I know there's a classic one Bears Jalen fan Ramsey. Who probably didn't like that too much. So I'm gonna send that over to our Bears correspondent, Max. What are your thoughts on Jalen Ramsey's not so nice words?
Personally, Jalen Ramsey is probably my most hated player in the league. I hate him. I think he's a pretty bad person. And I love Darnell Mooney. So that's my stance on that. And I think Darnell Mooney destroys him in the regular season when they play in week one.
So, all right. Hate to cut you off there, but Kaz will be hopping on now, he said. So all right,
perfect.
We'll be waiting there. So, yeah, that was a good little conversation.
I will talk about this later, but some new MLB power rankings came out as well, so we could touch on that in a different video.
Yeah, the Braves keep falling. Yeah.
Big White Sox number one.
Yes, sir. White Sox, baby.
Let's just wait for Chet. Kaz to join.
Again. Yep. But yeah, after this video, don't forget to check out Kaz has a YouTube channel, Kaskisuo. I recommend checking it out. Here he is now.
Joining us now is Kazimir Kaskisuo. It's great to have you on. Would you want to introduce yourself, Kaz?
Thanks for having me on. You want me to introduce myself?
Yeah.
So I guess I could say goalie for the Nashville Predators and currently on the taxi squad this season and a little bit of a YouTuber as well. For the last year or so. So trying to bring some more content to the fans while playing hockey and show behind the scenes as much as I can.
I guess that's it. I'd love to talk about your YouTube channel. It's really great to get an in-depth look at what it's like, you know, behind the scenes, per se, of the NHL season. And I love your NHL gameplay, too. So, yeah, keep up the great work, whether it's on the ice or off the ice.
Yeah, for sure. And then the feedback has been nothing but positive. So that's one reason to keep it going. So I'm definitely a little surprised of how well it's taken off and how everybody likes it. So kind of have to keep it rolling. And obviously I enjoy doing it as well. So just trying to use the position on my end and the things I get to see every day that to kind of show the fans a little more of a inside look.
Yep. So, Kaz, we're going to ask you a few questions here. I'll start off with the first one. So, you know, when you were first growing up as a kid, you know, learning about sports, falling in love with sports, you know, tell us kind of what were your first sports playing, whether it was hockey, whether it was another sport. And then after you tell us what sports you played, why was hockey kind of just the stick out from the rest?
It was definitely hockey from day one. I think I started skating when I was 2 years old, and then I was born in 1993, and Finland won its first world championships in 1995. So I heard I was glued to the TV watching those, and that was a huge deal in Finland and for Finnish hockey. So it was hockey 100% from that day on, and obviously played different sports. I took some tennis lessons growing up for a year or so, and then played golf too, and then organized floorball and soccer for a couple of years here and there. So obviously loved all kinds of sports and playing all the sports, and those were kind of the path I took. I figured it has to be more. That was a fun thing to do, try different sports and with the friends I grew up with. So yeah, definitely more important to the general athletic performance to as a growing up to play different kind of sports.
So Kaz, you gotta go, Max.
You can go, Brian. I can wait on you.
What was the transition like for you coming from Finland to North America?
It was definitely a big one. I think I was 19 and when I moved over, and it was always a dream of mine to play in North America, but going to a small town in Minnesota to play junior hockey, obviously there's pretty much nothing else but hockey, but I was just excited, and you know, always wanted to be there, and hockey started going well, so it didn't really matter where you were at, and when hockey goes good, usually everything else goes good. So wasn't too much of a transition for me like that. No, didn't get homesick or anything like that. I was just excited to be in North America playing hockey, and pretty much living the dream, like the saying is.
Yeah, I guess I'll ask him this question. And so I'm guessing right after you came over from Finland, that's when you started playing at Minnesota Duluth. What was it like playing D1 college hockey?
Yeah, so when I moved over from Finland, I played 1 year, 2 years to kind of get that exposure to a college. I didn't really have any idea what kind of schools would come up to me, and ended up having a good year in juniors, and had some options to pick from good D1 schools, and was lucky enough that Minnesota Duluth was interested with a full scholarship. So it was a opportunity to be a starter right away as a freshman, and which I was looking forward to, and obviously a good team, and the facilities were top notch, and the coaching was great, and the team was good. So it was kind of a no-brainer for me to go there, and yeah, it was first time when I was still playing juniors, and I went to see Minnesota Duluth's home game, and I was blown away. It just felt like I walked into an NHL rink, and I felt like I was watching an NHL game. So definitely fell in love with the college hockey atmosphere, and felt like it was the right place for me. So it was very excited to make the jump to D1.
Yeah. And I just wanted to say before we move on to the next question, that save that you have and all the intros of your YouTube is a very amazing save.
Yeah, Halloween night. I think that will never fade away. So I think I played it a little wrong, but ended up making that save, and I think that's gonna live on forever.
Yeah, it looks great.
So, Kaz, what is the locker room atmosphere like, you know, on a contending team like you are now?
Guys are excited for sure. I mean, I think the things we've done in the second half of the season, and it's pretty remarkable. I think our chances to make the playoffs were less than 7% at some point of the season. So we've really figured out the kind of team we want to be, and everybody's gotten to know ourselves a little better. And yeah, I mean, I think people see us as an underdog since we're on that fourth spot in our division, but we've been playing like one of the best teams in the league for the last month or so. So we're excited, and we know we can do some damage. And obviously Carolina is a tough opponent for us, was during the regular season as well. But once we stick to the game plan we've kind of developed over the season, I think everybody believes in that and know we have a good chance, and we have good players in the room. So it's been fun. Everybody's positive at the rink, and there's that good energy that usually comes around on the playoff time. So everybody excited to see what kind of damage we can do.
All right, that sounds that is, I'm kind of upset a little bit because our favorite team is the Chicago Blackhawks, and you guys kind of knocked us out.
Yeah, we did.
About a little bit over half, like towards the end of the season, but then Dallas kind of took our spot too. So,
yeah, but, it was definitely an exciting playoff race, and it came down the wire. And I think we had those three games against Chicago, and we ended up getting 5 out of 6 points. So that was kind of a big series for us to take those points and kind of push Chicago out of the way. And but yeah, I think that kind of helps us out as well, just playing those playoff time games at the end of the regular season where you have your playoff lives on the line, and just playing the right way and playing hard and taking that to the playoffs.
Yeah, and while we're on the Chicago topic, you said in one of your vlogs that you played with Kevin Lankinen. And what was that like playing with him? Because, of course, we think he's, like, been doing insane this year because, like, he basically came out of nowhere.
So, yeah. I mean, I think I had him for a couple of years in under 20s. I mean, he was coming through the Joker junior system. So, and everything's kind of tied together over there with goaltending and guys being up and down and stuff like that. So, yeah, we hit it off, like, even back then, like, we hit it off right away, and he was a good goalie partner. He played well, and we got along really good. So, you could tell he had some talent. He kind of had the same skill set that he had back then, and just being calm and technically very, very good. And even as a, I think he was 17, 18 year old back then, and he was acting like a professional. So you could tell his time was coming, and it's been pretty amazing to see him play this year. Even was pretty cool to be at the AHL All-Star game with him last season and kind of share that experience. And even back then we were like, wow, like we've come a far long way together. And but then I backed up one of those games in Chicago at the end of the season, and we kind of got to chat during warm-ups a little bit over the red line, and we were like, well, who knew we'd be here at United Center one day together on the ice. So yeah, happy for him, and but also happy that he didn't steal our playoff spot.
Yeah, and since you touched on the AHL All-Star game, what was it like when you I'm guessing you saw when the hardest shot, slap shot record was broken, right?
Yeah.
What was that like? Because it was Frick, right? That's how you say his last name?
Yeah, Frick, I think.
Yeah,
something Frick. Like that.
Yeah. That was
pretty cool. Yeah, I was right there behind him. And, yeah, it's kind of one of those crazy moments. Like, you didn't even – you're just kind of enjoying the experience, seeing everybody go through their different skill stuff and – kind of seeing the fans and just soaking in the experience, and then he does that shot and those numbers come in and you're like, I think that's a record, and everybody goes crazy, and especially him, like the All-Star game was in Ontario, so he played for Ontario at the time, so he got all his fans there. And yeah, it was a pretty cool experience to be there for that. And all in all, just a great experience to be at the All-Star game, and definitely a fun experience I'll remember for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, that was a very fast slap shot, and that's, you know, obviously going to be a pretty hard shot for any goalie, no matter the experience to face. What are some other, you know, what would you say hard shots to face as a goalie?
There's definitely like a lot of good shooters in the league, being in having the chance to practice with the Maple Leafs and be around those guys for the last few years. And then even this year, the guys we have in Nashville, like the deception is, it's not about this, how hard you shoot anymore. It's about the deception. And you can kind of see that with, especially Matthews, when he like, his release is so quick that it seems like the puck's already coming at you when he hasn't even shot it yet. And that's how you beat goalies nowadays. And even guys shooting 5-hole, and it's they they're so fast with their release, and they can make the goalies look pretty silly. So definitely, like, those one-timers like Ovechkin and Stamkos, and, like, those are going to be hard to stop no matter what, because they come at you so hard. And but I would say, as a goalie, like, the the biggest key right now that the guys can release so fast, and they've started to go five hole a little more, so because the goalies don't know that the pucks are coming. So yeah, it's definitely a tough time to be a goalie with all these guys, young guys shooting so well.
Jake, you want to ask a question?
Yeah, sure. You know, you're kind of touching on these guys, you know, shooting at now, but, you know, let's go back to kind of back then when you were growing up playing hockey. Who was your favorite guy watching on TV? Who were you inspired by?
I think there was a lot. Obviously, the Finnish goalies that were in the NHL at the time when I was growing up, like Kiprusoff was big for me. Obviously, even Pex here in Nashville, like, had posters of him on my wall growing up. But I think the main guy I followed the most was Kari Lehtonen, who played for Atlanta and Dallas. And he was always the guy who was kind of my favorite. But, yeah, always definitely followed the Finnish goalies in the NHL. And we had definitely some good ones. And it was cool to experience, like, Kiprusoff and Bex, like, really solidify that, be, like, the first – Finnish superstar starting goalies in the NHL. So definitely not bad guys to pick as your role models.
Yeah, that sounds pretty cool. I know we kind of gave Pex a hard time and through the past decade, but he's still amazing.
Yeah, and it's been amazing to just, like, get to the rink every day watching him work, like, how good of a person he is and a great teammate, and you know, just watching him up close is kind of surreal at times, that here I am sharing at the same practice as Pex, and so you learn something new every day from him for sure.
Yeah, and I me being the goalie out of the group, I know I have a lot of superstitions before games that I have to do and stuff like that. I just want to know if you had any superstitions or were, like, crazy about him.
No, I think you probably did as when I was younger, but I think superstitions only slow you down, and I'm trying to get rid of all that stuff and just feel relaxed and feel loose, feel good before the game. And obviously routines are important in my mind, and just kind of doing the things the same way, it kind of gives you that comfortability, but, and lets your mind get ready to play. And but I think superstitions are very bad if you have to take a sip out of your water certain times or whatever crazy superstitions you come up with, then those are only going to slow you down. And if you end up not being able to do your superstitions, it's only going to bother you. So just trying to limit all kinds of superstitions, like stuff like that, but obviously stick to some routines, where whether it's warm up or what I eat, just kind of letting it's good to fall back on those the same rhythm of a game day, and so you feel comfortable and don't have to think too much. But superstitions are a big no for me.
Yeah. You can go.
Okay. Yeah. So you kind of touched on the routines. That was one of our questions as well. What are kind of your routines just throughout the day, whether you're at home or on the road, in a hotel, wherever, anywhere, and then just kind of going a lot, like, what's your routine leading up to, you know, puck drop?
Well, especially this year, it's been a little different since I haven't even started a game, and then when we go on the road, we can't really do anything. But if it was a normal game day, let's say at home, and just, you know, get a morning skate in and Usually eat the same kind of stuff after morning skate, and then head home and nap for a couple hours and get some rest and lay down and lay low and gather some energy and grab a coffee on the way to the rink and just kind of go through my get my stick ready and do the same kind of little stretching and little activation to make sure that your body's ready to go and play a little soccer with the fellas and get loose and have a couple laughs. And I think that's important to just feel good and not overthink about that game, because it's a long game day. Like if you start worrying about the game first thing in the morning, like it's mentally soul draining to when you get to that 7 p.m. puck drop, that just trying to stay as loose as you can, and obviously do some pre-scouting for the other team, and then just enjoy myself and do what I want to do, and hit the ice for warm-ups and go from there, and it's game time.
So you covered your daily routine, and you said you haven't played much this year, but let's talk about what your experience was like in your NHL debut. I mean, what emotions were going through your head? I mean, was that, you know, obviously it's going to be stressful, but was there a difference in your routine?
No, it wasn't, I think afterwards, like the day before, even like when I heard that I was going to start, and, but we played a home game in Toronto, and then we flew out that night after that game to Pittsburgh, and, then it was game day the next day. So it was actually very busy schedule from the moment that I heard I was going to play to actually the puck drop. So I tried to not think about it too much. Just treat it as like a normal game, and I feel like I was able to do that. But obviously, it's kind of it was a dream come true. So obviously, you're excited for that, and I was just very excited and stick to the same routines. And when it was puck drop, it felt like felt surprisingly calm and felt like just another game. And then obviously after the game, all the emotions of achieving this lifelong dream, like kind of hit harder than they hit before. So, very, very positive experience for me, and something I'll cherish for the rest of my life for sure, making that debut.
I just wanted to ask about how it was in the bubble last year for playoffs. Even though,
yeah, it was a pretty good setup for us. I think we didn't stay there for too long, but everything was taken care of, and the setup we had for our team was good. We had a golf simulator in there, and the rink was, you get to walk to the rink, and so everything was good. But I can definitely see how it would have started to affect some guys and guys with families when, if you go 2-3 rounds or even to the finals, that you don't get to see your families for that long, and just kind of stuck in the hotel with the pretty strict rules about what you can do, and you can't really hang out with your teammates. And so for us, only doing the qualifying round, it wasn't too bad. And I mean, everything was taken care of top notch, and just felt like a hockey tournament. But for sure, if it would have been a couple months away from my wife and my daughter, then obviously that would have probably been a little tougher. But I think everybody was just excited to get back to playing hockey and jump right in the playoffs. So it was pretty cool experience that we got to do that.
Yeah, and going back to the bubble, in the qualifying rounds when you guys played Columbus, that I think it was three. How many overtimes was it that game? Was it three, right? Or was it? I feel like it was three or five.
Oh, that was when Tampa Bay played Columbus. They had long game. Yeah, we only have, I think, one overtime. in our series. It was one of those crazy games when I think we were down 3-0 and with like 3 minutes, 4 minutes to go, and we ended up tying the game and winning in overtime. So that was probably the craziest game of our series with Columbus.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you talked about not wanting to spend months away from your wife and daughter. So I was going to ask, what are the challenges trying to manage, you know, being a good father and an NHL player, or trying to be a very good YouTuber and a NHL player? Like, you know, what are some of the challenges you face?
Yeah, I mean, this year, I think the biggest challenge was kind of going down to Nashville by myself and right after Christmas and not knowing how the season's going to look like with the AHL and the Texas squad and all that. So my family stayed back in Minnesota, and it was 2 months until I got to see them again, and they moved down to Nashville. So, I mean, I understand it could have been worse, but that was probably the hardest part, to not see them. And especially when my daughter's 2 years old, and you kind of miss a lot of development for 2 months at that age. So, but I was happy that they got to move down and we kind of got some kind of stability and stayed in Nashville for the whole season. But, yeah, I mean, for sure, like doing the family stuff and, even YouTube, I mean, it takes a good amount of time, but I haven't been playing this season. So it's been fun to, kind of have some kind of balance for hockey, to spend time with family and do the YouTube stuff, since we can't really do anything outside of our own homes with the league's COVID rules. So yeah, I've enjoyed it, especially on the road. Like, we can't go out to dinners or anything like that, so you're kind of stuck in your hotel room. So this is kind of the time where I get most of the stuff done, and when we're at home, it's family time when I'm not at the rink. So it's been a pretty good mix, and I think the nice thing that the Predators did was, when we go on the road, when we fly the day before, we moved up our flights to that evening, so we don't fly out in the afternoon. So we kind of get to spend that extra time with our families, and since you can't go on the road city and go out to dinner or enjoy the city the night before. So that was a nice thing, just a little bit more family time with the hectic season. But it's been a good season for me.
Okay. And actually want to go?
It doesn't matter. I was just going to say that Jake hasn't really been able to ask many questions.
Yeah, Jake, you want to throw a question out there?
Sure. So, you know, earlier you were touching on how whether you were in the bubble or just a pregame warm-up, you know, you go, you get to the locker room, see the guys, play a little bit with them, get loose. Like, how does that – it has to, I would assume, make a big impact on the guys, knowing that they're around each other, they're comfortable with their guys they've been with for a while, and being able to know that you have the guys by your side. Like, is that a major impact on you and others?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Like, when – to me, it's important to feel comfortable and around the guy. So definitely the main goal for me going into training camp to a new organization for the first time in 4 years, it was to just trying to get to know the guys and the staff as quick as I could. And because once I was comfortable with everyone, it's obviously easier to perform. And same goals with the games, that you know, just trying to be a good teammate, and that way be friends with everyone. And like, when I do get my chance, that they you know, they'll try to help me out that much more. And you know, I definitely, it's important for the whole team as well to kind of blend in together during the long season, especially this year when, like I said, you can't go out to dinners with each other, and there's not much team bonding like in a normal season. So the time we spend at the rink is very important, and trying to grow together as a team. And I think that was the biggest thing for us this year, that we had some new guys, but it took a little bit, and The more we hung out with each other, the closer we got, and that definitely showed up in games as well.
Brian, you want to go with the question?
Yeah, I will. So you switched locker rooms this off season, and you're talking about how with the new COVID restrictions, it makes it tough for you to, you know, be able to bond with your teammates as well as you have been before. So talk about, you know, how hard it was switching locker rooms and then having, you know, be the new guy in the whole locker room and trying to, you know, make connections while, you know, not trying to break COVID protocols.
Yeah, I think it was easier than I thought it was going to be, just with just being more mature than I was four or five years ago when I moved to Toronto, and kind of more comfortable and more self-confident, I guess I could say, more mature, and knew I could blend in with the older guys as much as the younger guys, but being having a kid and kind of fitting into that older group. And so, yeah, I think we all just kind of embraced the same thing that we were finally at training camp. Everybody missed hockey, and we were just excited to get back going and wanted to get to know each other. And we had a great group of guys in Nashville, the taxi squad and the whole team, even like the star players in Nashville are all very nice and welcoming, and which has made the transition very easy. So, yeah, it definitely didn't take long and was a lot smoother process than I expected it to be. And I got to thank my teammates for that and all the staff. So it's been awesome to step into that Nashville organization.
I guess I'll ask the next question. So I don't know when you were able to be eligible for the draft, if you thought you were going to get drafted or if you didn't think you were going to get drafted, but what was it like going undrafted?
I wasn't, there was no chance I was going to get drafted, I think, the first couple of years of when I was eligible, just because I was behind. I was playing in Finland and I wasn't playing too much, and you know, behind guys like Korpisalo, who plays for Columbus, and like Lankinen, obviously. And so definitely wasn't in anyone's radar, and that was kind of the reason why I made the switch to North America, because I felt like I was stuck in Finland, so kind of needed something else, and had that unbelievable season in the North American Hockey League. And my last year of the draft eligibility, I was actually ranked, I think, 9th of North American goalies. And so there was a good chance that I was going to get drafted. And I even went to, I think, Chicago's like pre-draft camp and all that stuff. But I think all the goalies who were ranked in front of me, and most of the guys who were ranked behind me, got picked in the draft, but I didn't. I think I was the oldest guy eligible. But obviously it was kind of a little bit of a disappointment, because for the first time I had a chance to like get closer to the NHL dream, and you know, being drafted is always some pretty exciting. But it ended up working in my favor that no team owned my rights, and I was able to go wherever I wanted as a free agent. And you know, because sometimes if you get drafted to the wrong team, and who knows, they would have maybe wanted to keep me in college all 4 years, and if they didn't have it, just bought for me. And so now after 2 years, when I felt like I was ready, I was able to take that free agent offer from Toronto. So it ended up working in my favor.
So besides going undrafted, what other challenges would you say you came across in trying to get to where you're at right now?
Yeah, I think just had to play my way into the spotlight, I guess. So, you know, just not getting any looks or any real chances in Finland, and being the backup in the Finnish Junior League for 3 years in a row, and just, you know, not much was happening down there, and just taking the leap of faith and doing the college route, which is not common for Finnish players. And just have to perform, play well, and you can get seen from wherever you are as long as you play well. So if you play well, they'll find you. So that's kind of what I had to go through. And
even
not getting drafted kind of sparked that fire a little more to motivate a little bit more, and then play well in college, and had to play my way into the scholarship, and then I had to play my way into the contract with Toronto. So, and even from there, getting thrown in the East Coast League my rookie season, and having to play my way out of there as well into NHL debut a few years later. So nothing's been given to me for free, that's for sure. And I appreciate that, and that's kind of how I wanted it to work. So earned everything I've gotten so far in my career. So I really cherish that.
And like you said, not getting drafted was your big motivation to get where you're at today. Now, what would you say currently is your motivation to keep going forward and trying to be the best NHL goalie you can be?
Obviously, just trying to be the best version of myself. And, you know, I feel like I could play in the NHL, and just about like sometimes for goalies, it's about luck and being in the right spot to get that opportunity. So, you know, just trying to maximize my potential and play the best hockey I can, and obviously help the team I'm with. That's the big motivator. And, you know, of course, want to be in the NHL full time and, you know, do my best and get as far as I can get. And, you know, it's for sure, like, you can't take days off when you're in the NHL or the AHL or any professional league. So you just gotta make sure you're given the best version of yourself every day, because you could be out of a job pretty quick if you start slacking off. So every day is a tryout for me, for sure.
So as you were getting to know how you should play the position and stuff like that, what NHL goalie would you compare yourself to? Like just your playing style and maybe even your positioning?
That's a good question. I really don't try to model my game after anyone. I think for me it was a big thing when I just allowed myself to play with my strengths and play my own style. And everybody's different, so everybody needs to play what works for them the best. And I can't play like Vasilevsky, no matter how hard I wanted to play like him. And he's got some unbelievable athletic skills and talent that nobody else has. So you kind of just play to your own strengths. And but I don't know. That's a good question. Obviously, yeah, I think everybody wants to say that they want to be like Carey Price with how technical he is and how easy he makes the game look. But my style is kind of I like to be pretty calm and not to do too much and be in the right position, but then also mix in some reactive saves as well, and allow myself to be quick and explosive and react and break from the typical technique if needed. And so, like I said, try not to do too much and then be controlled, and then mix in some hybrid saves when needed, because it's all about reading the game. And you can be the most technical goalie in the world, but sometimes it's about making the saves and reading the play. So I like to trust my reads and trust my my technique, and then also break out of it when needed.
Yeah, so since we're on the topic of your style, I wanted to turn to your equipment for a second, because obviously you got the nice pads going that you just got with the Bauer Reactor print. But you also have some unique things about your equipment, and I wanted to go to your stick. You have like a little cutout that I've seen before on the paddle. Is that your thumb?
That's my index finger, so it's like a trigger grip.
Oh.
Yeah, and then I also broke my thumb about just over a year ago, and I had to kind of like mix the paddle up a little bit after that as well, so I had to kind of shave down the thumb side a little bit, so the paddle or the shoulder wasn't leaning right on the bone of my thumb. So when my thumb healed, it actually felt better to hold a stick like that. So kind of kept that going, and kind of have the trigger as well.
And then the type of mask you use is pretty unique too. Is that just for like the way your kind of like jaw is shaped and something like that?
Yeah, so I had the pleasure of working with Covenant Mask here for a couple seasons now, and they have their shop is in Mississauga, so it's right by the airport in Toronto. So had a bunch of times after practice, I would drive over there and kind of work on my normal mask and get the specs right for that when I switched over to Covenant. And they obviously had all those combos on the shelf, and they were always cracking jokes like how I'll be wearing that one day. And I was like, no chance. And, but then I started, you know, testing it out every now and then, and kind of once I put it on, the fit was unbelievable. Like, I do have a pretty wide jaw, and I think that's kind of the Scandinavian facial feature, I guess, because I talked to Freddie Anderson about it too. He said he's got a wide jaw, so he's been switching his mask as well, and he's had some trouble with that. So it is a very wide jaw, and so it fits. It's so comfortable, fits great, and then the face cutout is bigger as well, so the visibility is much better as well. So there's a lot of benefits to it, and so yeah, it definitely made sense for me to switch, and I feel like it makes me a better goalie and helps me see better and feel better out on the ice. So yeah, I got no reason to switch back.
All right, Jake, would you want to ask some questions? Jake? All right.
I don't really have – Brian, you got anything?
Yeah, while Jake's thinking about a question, I was going to ask, you're very inspiring to, you know, us small creators with the podcast, and obviously kids like Max who are trying to, you know, get to that next level. What's the best advice you can just give to someone who's trying to accomplish a goal?
I think, you know, like, the most important thing is to have fun and, like, enjoy what you're doing. And even for goalies climbing up the ranks, that you don't always have to worry about, like, the team you're in. You don't have to play for the most prestigious team where everybody wants to play. Like, as long as you're playing somewhere where you have fun, you have a lot of ice time, and that's the most important thing. Like, I'm a good example that I didn't really, I wasn't a starting goalie until I was 20. And, you know, if you play well, you're going to get those opportunities all the way up in junior hockey. And so just trust the process, have fun, and put in the time and try to get better every possible way you can. And, but obviously, like I said, having fun is the most important thing, because then you're more open to learning new things. And especially for goalies, like, it's so mental that once you feel good and have fun, that's half the battle, and you usually play much better as well. But, and then also for the content guys, like, you know, I think the grind is important, and obviously you got to do what you love and enjoy what you're doing. And you never know when you get, like, exposed to something bigger, and but you have to put in the putting the groundwork in for sure, like you guys. Just, you know, keep doing what you're doing, and you might not get recognized right away. Like it was easy for me. Like, I posted the first video from the bubble, and I get a retweet from the Maple Leafs and the NHL, so it kind of kickstarted the whole thing. And so I've had it easy with my YouTube channel, but yeah, it's just about when you do the right things and you enjoy what you're doing. And you know, I feel like people once they just believe in the brand. So I think those are the little advices I can offer.
So Jake, you have any more questions that you want to ask?
Yeah, I got one more. You know, whether you're on the ice and in the training facility, wherever you're at, and you're kind of in a little bit of a struggle right there, how do you kind of calm yourself down and calm others down and just calm yourself down to get back and just get your thoughts together, get yourself together, and keep pressing on?
In the moment or just in general, like a longer period?
Let's go in the moment.
Yeah, I think it's like, obviously in a game, everything can happen. A lot of things can happen, and you can get some unlucky bounces, and especially goalie, like everything happens so quick. So, and you're bound to letting some bad goals during the season. And I think it's important to just, you know, try to live in the moment. I think that's something that I've been working on here for the last couple of years, like even adding meditation and to my routines, and, you know, just focusing on your breath is a pretty simple way to kind of ground yourself and be in the moment and not think about if you let in a bad goal or if you're not feeling good. Just trying to be in the moment, and you can't think about the future either and what's going to happen. So all you have is right now. And usually when you're in that moment, then you're present, and allows your mind to focus on the game and, you know, not let those negative thoughts come in. So I think focusing on breathing is the big thing for sure. Like when stuff goes down in a game that you're not happy about, and some of those negative self-talk starts to come up, and you just gotta find those little things of confidence that you have in your game and a little positive self-talk, and also focus on the breathing. I think it's something that I do when doing every game. That's simple thing, but very effective.
Since you were said something about meditation, did you ever try yoga before?
Yeah, I've done yoga for about 10 years now, here and there. More for like the physical aspects of it, and obviously now with a little bit more age, I think as a younger guy, like, you don't put that much focus on your mental skills or meditation and stuff like that. Can sound a little silly, but it's very important. And that's definitely through yoga. It's, you kind of get that mind body connection and being in the moment, and that's the flow state of mind. What's just what you're trying to achieve when you're playing goal, and, you know, being in the moment. And I feel like the stuff that yoga does is very important for goalies as well, for the flexibility and the physical abilities, and then also centering your mind and keeping your mind in the moment.
So I think Jake accidentally just lost connection. Oh, wait, he's back.
Yeah, here he is.
All right.
Sorry, back. Technical difficulties.
But would you want to ask any of your final questions, Brian?
No, I think I'm all set. Thank you so much for coming on. It was an honor to have you on, hearing your story, hearing everything you've done in your career. And it's still a young career. I look forward to hopefully doing a follow-up interview in the years to come.
For sure. Thanks for having me on. I'm looking forward to listening to you guys more now and be involved with your podcast for sure.
Thank you. All
right. And just, Max, you want to go?
All right. Yeah. And just before you go, I hope that the Preds end up beating Carolina in that series. They lost yesterday, but we're cheering for you guys.
Yeah, perfect. I got Preds in six, so I have a lot of faith in our boys to turn this thing around.
That's good.
Yeah, thank you again so much for coming on. And yeah, it was an honor.
Yeah, thanks guys.
Definitely was. All right. See ya.
See ya, folks.